Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome to the Munganess St. Louis Honda Sports on a Sunday morning.
Here's the pitch. A swing and a high fly ball.
This could be trouble. It's at the wall.
And it's a gunner!
He scores!
Now, Sports on a Sunday morning on America's Sports Voice, KMOX.
I'm Tom Ackerman. Welcome back to KMOX, and always a treat to be able to catch up with my friend and the voice of the Final Four, the Masters, and CBS Sports for many years, and that is Jim Nantz. Jim, it is great, under the circumstances we're all dealing with a lot, but to be able to hear a familiar voice and to be able to talk to you is very comforting. How are you?
Well, just fine, thankfully, and listen, these are tough times, and you're right, under the circumstances, and we live over in this sports universe, which is way down on the food chain right now as far as areas of concern, but anytime I can visit with you, which thankfully is a couple of times a year, and at the same time be on the great KMOX, it's an honor. So thanks for having me, Tom.
Thank you, and you know how much sports mean to this city, and when it does come back, that will play a part in healing us. But I think just, you know, for people to take a mental break every so often, because we are dealing with a lot of stresses, to be able to talk about, even though we're not seeing live sports, to be able to talk about them and reminisce, I think, is comforting and gives us a sense of normalcy, don't you?
Absolutely. I felt that way, especially this past weekend when the Masters rolled around. Now, it was, I know, so hard for the rabid sports fan to get over the fact that there's no NBA, no start of the baseball season right now, and, of course, no NCAA tournament this year. But the Masters has always been one of those events that kind of signals the start of a new season. And last week we were able to rebroadcast Phil Mickelson's win in 04 at Augusta and Tiger's win in 2019. And they both joined me for some real, like, play-by-play commentary from the final rounds of their victories. And they both had strong messaging, not only in their wins that happened in Tiger's case just a year ago, but in their messages they sent out to everybody right now. And those are the kind of things we look for. We're looking for little things that bring us optimism and hope and a nice distraction in the middle of all these things we're trying to sort out right now.
Because we know how important things are right now to so many different people, and people are going through a lot. Jim Nantz is with us from CBS. And again, while this is secondary to everything, I couldn't help but think how great the Masters is in so many different ways. And I thought of that ceremonial tee shot. You know, when I think of the Masters, and you've talked about it so many times, how important that moment is for you. What was it like to not have those grand assignments on your plate?
I'm missing every single week of it. You know, you kind of live in this time warp, Tom. You probably are the same way. You know, the Cardinals season would be underway. What would you be doing? What would that look like and feel like in terms of the ebb and flow of life as it used to be? And this is a week right now where my family would be with me at a golf tournament down at Harbortown in Hilton Head Island, South Carolina. It's become a wonderful annual tradition for me, 34 years running. But yeah, the day of the opening day of the Masters, I've never missed that opening shot. Now, they had a couple of years where they didn't do it in like 03 through 06, but I go back to 86 with that tournament, and I've stood there and watched in awe and celebrated not only the symbolism of the start of the Masters and the start of springtime, But to look at these old heroes and to see the way that that tournament honors them, you know, golf really, like baseball, leans heavily on history and its heritage. And I just love the way the sport has always kept its heroes as a part of it. And do you know that night last week, going into the opening day of the Masters, I actually woke up. I had this dream that I was late. I was not, the alarm had not gone off, and I had not run out to Augusta National in time to see the ceremonial first shot. So that gives you an idea of where my mind was in the middle of the night. This is last Wednesday night going into Thursday morning. I actually woke up, you know, in the middle of the night thinking that I was supposed to be out on my way to the golf course. I do hope and pray that we can bring some sports back to America's living rooms that is new, fresh, and live and meaningful. And maybe it'll be this summer. I'm hoping so.
One thing that I wanted to talk to you about that I thought was very special, we have a great relationship here with Bob Costas, of course, a KMOX alum, but also Joe Buck, who both of them have gone on to have terrific careers. And you gave a tremendous tribute to the Buck family by mentioning Joe's father on the telecast, that Joe would be able to do a Super Bowl like his father did with the Kansas City Chiefs. What brought you to bring Jack Buck's name to your telecast there leading into the Super Bowl, Jim?
Well, this is an easy one. I have so much respect for the family, for starters. And a couple of weeks before the AFC Championship game, someone had casually mentioned to me that, well, of course, I knew the timeline on it. I knew it had been 50 years since the Chiefs had been in the Super Bowl and won Super Bowl IV. And someone mentioned, you know, Jack Buck called that game for CBS. He did the national broadcast. Boom. Light switch goes on in my head, and I thought, you know what? If Kansas City is playing in the AFC Championship game and goes on to win it, I'd sure like to honor Mr. Buck and Joe by saying something about it. And they stormed back from behind again, the Chiefs did, like they did in the divisional round. They did that day against Tennessee, like they did in the fourth quarter against San Francisco. It was an amazing team. But we were just putting up the brackets, so to speak. Here's the matchup for the Super Bowl. And I just wanted to wish Joe well. I have so much respect for him. He's an incredible announcer. And so is Bob Costas. You mentioned Bob earlier. I mean, what pedigree all of you have there in St. Louis, what's come out of that city. It's almost indescribable.
Dan Dierdorf, I spent some time with him. He lives right around the corner from me, and we've talked about his times on CBS very fondly.
I love Dan. In times, I got to spend a significant amount of time with Dan at seminars and other CBS gatherings. But, you know, Joe was so nice about it. I was really, truly not looking for this to garner any national attention. But I just wanted to wish him well. He and Troy well for their broadcast coming up, and be able to say how cool it is that a father could call a Super Bowl 50 years before a son. I mean, we just did the father-son story of all time with Tiger and his father, and then Tiger being able to and have that embrace with his son at Augusta in 2019. We rebroadcast it last week. But Joe just he went over above and beyond and thanked me over and over again. He didn't need to. I just wanted him to know that I thought it was super special, and what a tribute it is to his dad's Hall of Fame career that a Hall of Fame son is going to have a chance to actually follow in his dad's footsteps and exactly 50 years down the road and call a Super Bowl and have it not only be 50 years, but have the same team winning in both games. I mean, some incredible symmetry there.
And in our final minute, that's also because you understand the father-son relationship and how much your father meant to you. I lost my father when I was almost 18, and I remember reading your book and becoming very emotionally attached to your story. Your father meant a lot to you, and I know we only have a minute to go, and that's not enough time.
Yeah.
But that is a big part of what you do.
I'll try to glean a quick soundbite here about my dearly beloved dad. I wrote this book called Always By My Side because my father is figuratively, I feel his presence always with me. And that was the basis for the book, that my dad was there with me when I was calling, whether it be a Super Bowl, a Final Four, or the Masters. My father, his presence is with me to this day. He's been gone now for coming up on 12 years, but I'm looking at a picture of him right now, and he is truly always by my side.
I appreciate you, Jim, very much. Thank you for coming on KMOX. Let's stay in touch, and when sports come back, they are going to be amazing, my friend.
They really are. It sets up, if everything comes off as everyone's planning, with all of these golf events, tennis Grand Slam events, who knows where baseball will be, the start of college basketball, the NBA will be going, college football, the NFL. I mean, the fall, these guys that are in charge of programming, they've certainly got their hands full to try to slot all this, but it'll be a good problem to have. Let's hope we get there. Tom, with great admiration, thank you so much.
Thank you very much. Be well and be safe.
All the best. Take care now.
There is Jim Nantz, the voice of CBS Sports. Great to hear his voice. And now, another familiar voice. It's the manager of the Cardinals.
The following is a special presentation of Sports on a Sunday morning. Welcome to the Mike Schilt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Mike, I'm just trying to find good lead-ins to your show. You know, how about that little Jim Nantz to warm you up here? How are you?
I'm fantastic. How about yourself, Tom?
Doing great. How about a familiar voice like Jim Nantz and the great broadcasters out there to make us feel normal? As you and I have talked about each and every week, this little two-hour show does make people feel a little better about how things are going and what otherwise is a very tough time right now.
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always here. Glad to hear Jim's voice. Does a fantastic job and obviously a man of high integrity. So, enjoyed hearing him there in the end.
As are you, pal. How are you doing?
I'm doing well. Yeah, doing well. Very blessed. Just got through watching some online church with Michelle, and I'm very grateful and thankful for that. And always a pleasure to talk to you.
It's great to talk to you. I've shown a lot of admiration for those who have gone out of their way to give us our daily lives back, at least to some sense of normalcy, like a pastor of a church. There have been a lot of people doing very hard work to try to keep us connected, I think. And church is another one of those here on Sundays, Mike.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's a part of the faith process to have your faith is really basically what, it's tested when things aren't going well. And, clearly we're going through a lot of difficult times and really be able to lean on an anchor that has a belief system that is looking to help others and comes out of a place of love for others is very important to me, at least.
Definitely. And I know that a lot of people share that. Mike, how about those kiddos having Michelle's girls hanging around? That's fun. And just kids in general keep you young and they notice things that you wouldn't ordinarily notice.
Yeah, quite a blessing. We have a really great time with them. They're wonderful girls. They really are. Michelle's done a phenomenal job raising them. And, they're just sweethearts and, just enjoy being a part of them and being able to be a part of their lives. They're fun.
Are you able to keep in touch? I know you are, but how often are you able to talk to your players and communicate with them and see how they're doing with their families?
Very often. As a staff, our performance staff, medical staff, of course, our field staff, we speak to our players, each of us probably one time a week. So, there's a lot of communication with the players and their families and just making sure they're in a good place mentally and physically.
You have some great ones out there, that's for sure, and some guys who I think, who had so much promise in spring training, and one of them that comes to mind, Mike Claiborne, will be visiting with Harrison Bader near the end of this hour, just as you and I are finished. And before we do that, Harrison Bader, that's a player who I thought had a lot on his shoulders going into spring training. That was just my feeling. Here's somebody projected as the starting center fielder, but with full knowledge that everybody wanted to see a little more out of him offensively. How would you encapsulate or evaluate what Harrison Bader brought you in that part of spring training?
Yeah, the starting point, you hope for Harrison and all our players is they don't feel like they need to put any more pressure on themselves than that is necessary that they can just be able to go perform, go play, trust their ability, and enjoy the process of competing. And I felt like that's what Harrison was able to do. I thought he went out and had a good spring and, you know, swung the bat well, better play zone discipline, more consistent approach, and just had a, was, you know, had a nice spring.
Oh, he did. He did. And he has, his defense is just so elite. But I'm sure that even that is something that he continues to improve. What makes him such a great defender in your mind? We know he has the athleticism, but there's always something else with those center fielders.
Well, I mean, first it comes from anything you're going to be good at. You have to care a lot about it. And Harrison has a lot of genuine pride, I guess is the right word, for wanting to be an elite player across the board. But really, ultimately, you know, the skill set physically is, I mean, not to minimize Harrison's skill set, but at the level we compete at, high-level physical skill set is not abnormal. That's really pretty much the norm. So what's the separator beyond that? And it's the daily work you put into your craft to be able to become and get out the most out of your elite ability. And in Harrison's case, if you show up early and you go watch batting practice, and this has been the case when Harrison came up as a minor leaguer, Harrison is going to be very, very consistent with his work ethic during batting practice, getting balls off the bat, creating good routes, getting good jumps. He's very assertive with the staff at home and on the road, and going out and throwing the bases, very proactive. So Harrison leads the charge on it. But if you look and you watch him in games, he gets behind every single fly ball. He's got really, really good habits, and the habits that he works on that are positive and he reinforces every day, and you study his craft, that's what leads into a game where you can go out and play and make plays that others can't based on their inability to maybe work on their efficiency of route or awareness of hitters or situation, and that's a separator for Harrison.
Man, taking a route to a ball is such a huge part of it. His footwork is amazing, really. I mean, the way he moves laterally, backwards, forwards, of course, but I watch him run backwards and get a beat on a ball. It's amazing. It really is. It's an underappreciated thing, I think, sometimes with these outfielders, how they get in position, Mike.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, you know, it's there's a lot that goes into our game, and it doesn't just happen when the first pitch, you know, takes place. There's a lot of work to be able to play and compete at the level that we do, and we love it, embrace it, enjoy it, and Harrison is definitely a good example of that.
Just to expand to all the outfielders, when they reach into their pocket and pull out that little card to take a look, what are they typically looking at? And that's provided by Willie McGee and also members of the coaching staff, right?
Yeah, that's a card that effectively we do our homework, Willie. It's a combination. Our baseball development department puts together through what they see, the tendencies of hitters. And then obviously Willie's been a lot of video work. And it's a strong suggestion. And it's got righties and lefties. They flip the card depending on who's pitching, righty or lefty. But it's a strong suggestion, but that's pretty much where we leave it. Because when you're in a real game competition, there's a lot of different things that can happen that can change. And we want to make sure that we see and allow our athletes to see the field and make the adjustments on their own. They're the ones playing the game. And so, for an example, if they see a guy being a little later today, maybe day game after night game, not getting to a ball, maybe it could be the circumstances of the wind. It could be any number of things. It could be the velocity of the pitcher. You know, guy's really got a good hop on his fastball. Guys aren't seeing him as well. They're not getting off good swings. So, you know, we hope, and they will, that they're going to adjust on their own and react. And you know, more times than not, that works out. And if it doesn't work out, you know what? We can live with that. We'll support our guys and trust them. But we just want to encourage them to be able to work off that card and then have a resource to pull from while they're doing what they're doing, and then adjust if they see something in the game.
One more thing on Bader. This is March 8th against the Marlins, Roger Dean Chevrolet Stadium. Cards up 5-2, fifth inning. Mike Shannon.
Gets a sign. There they go. Here it comes. Fastball, ground ball, base hit into left field. That'll score two, and the Cardinals now lead it by two more in the score. The walk and the hit batsman. And two more runs, and the Cardinals now lead it 7-2.
Two-run single by Bader. You get some runners on, you throw him a fastball, and he knocks it into the outfield. Now, that's exactly what you want to see out of Harrison, isn't it?
Yeah, of course. You want to see guys, you know, especially Harrison, all our guys. One of the things that last year that, you know, we did a lot of things very positive, as we know. We wanted to continue to be better with runners in scoring position and get good pitches to hit and put a good swing, have the right approach to what we're doing. And that was indication there that Harrison had those things and was able to execute.
Harrison Bader, he'll be the guest near the end of this hour as we talk to Cardinals manager Mike Shildt. Mike Claiborne will drop in and have a few minutes with Harrison Bader here on KMOX. Next hour, we're going to get into the 2011 team a little bit. We'll hear some of the members of that team. John Mozeliak is going to join us at 11:30, and then we will have the Cardinals. Let's just say it's the Carlos Marmol game against the Cubs. That should stoke some memories for sure. That's coming up at noon. Mike Shildt is the Cardinals manager. He's standing by with us live from Florida. It's 10:26. We'll be right back with much more on KMOX after this.
Now, back to the Mike Shildt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
It's 10:30. Welcome back. Cardinals manager Mike Shildt is with us. Always a treat to talk some baseball with him. We had some fun talking about Harrison Bader last segment, who is going to be the guest here near the end of the hour. And the Cardinals have a lot of good defensive players. The defense has been elite. And the turnaround, I know, Mike, has to do with players. You've told me that over and over. But it also has to do with you and your staff. Let's talk about George Kissel for a little bit. And going back to the first time that you met this wizard of baseball fundamentals, what was your first interaction with George Kissel, and what did you know at the time?
Well, I knew more of George, obviously, being in the organization, but just, you know, you're talking about a guy with the rightful reputation of being, I mean, maybe the best teacher in the history of the game, which is pretty profound, right? That's saying something.
That's big.
It is big. And, of course, Mr. Kissel wouldn't accept that. He just had a heart for the player, and he had a heart for the game, and he clearly had a heart for the Cardinal organization, you know, unbelievably across the board in all three. And, you know, just getting to meet him was really a little bit candidly awe-inspiring. You know, as somebody who's also loves the game and just wanted to be able to gain knowledge and teach the game, to be able to meet somebody who had that much impact on an organization and people, and be able to communicate with him and have you know, just open dialogue was and still is, you know, meant a lot.
I mean, he's spent so much time as an instructor, as a scout, as a manager. He was a minor league manager in the farm system in the 50s. He was with him as a minor league manager in the 60s. He was the third base coach for Red Schoendienst in the early 70s. But, you know, you think about that. George Kissel, about 70 years in the Cardinals organization. I mean, he mentored Joe Torre. He mentored Tony La Russa. He worked with Sparky Anderson, Mike.
Yeah, I mean, he had Earl Weaver was his second baseman in Winston-Salem, I believe in 1954. Don't quote me on that. But and that team won 106 games in a minor league season. And he encouraged Earl Weaver to get into managing, was there for Mr. Torre to get into managing and helped him, was there for Tony La Russa when he started getting into managing. You mentioned Sparky was there for Sparky Anderson and helped get him into managing. Jimmy Leland was told by Tony and Mr. Torre to go see George when he was starting his managing career. And you're talking about four Hall of Fame managers that arguably are in the top eight, and that's not even a hard argument, of all time, that he had a heavy influence on in getting started and helping develop their talent. Obviously, those guys did the work, and George would not take credit for it. There's no coincidence with that.
No, no doubt. Whitey Herzog was quoted as saying that George Kisel is one of those baseball lifers that loves to talk baseball. He's the only man I know who can talk for 15 minutes about a ground ball. I love that.
That's good stuff.
He has many things named after him, by the way, down in the Cardinals complex. The clubhouse itself is named after George Kisel. The quadrangle, I guess we call it, the George Kisel, that is also named for George. Those are the four fields, the four practice fields that are primarily used by the minor league clubs just beyond your complex. And, you know, the lasting relationships that he had with so many people, and so many were enthralled with his baseball knowledge, but it takes more than that. What was his demeanor like when it came to those fundamentals? Practicing, and is it okay, Mike, to make mistakes and learn from them? Did he demand perfection? How did he teach those fundamentals to become so ingrained in their minds?
A combination. I mean, you know, it's not just one thing. You can't teach off of fear, which clearly George did not. But George did hold people to high standards and accountability. So if you were going to half step through something, or after some period of time you were explaining something, and you couldn't execute it physically or mentally, then you know there was a conversation. But it was just about attention to detail. It was really also, before we got on the field, there was clarity within the ranks of the people that were teaching it to make sure that the player wasn't confused by getting different messages. So, and be clear, you know, I got George at the very end of his career. You know, Pop, our third base coach, Ron Warner, you know, Gertie, our bullpen coach. You know, these are guys that spent more time, came up, played through the system, had George as an instructor, as a player, and then as coaches, and in Pop's case, as a manager in the system. And I got a lot of my information and some of that accountability from our D-John, our just retired field coordinator. But, you know, getting back to Mr. Kisel, you know, it was about making sure that when we walked out, we, meaning the staff, when you walked out to execute a drill, a first and third, a cutoff and relay, that everybody knew to the smallest degree what the teaching points were. And because if you didn't, there's no way the player would, more or less. That's the reason we have our jobs. And the one thing also that about George and how he's able to – George is able to and desired evolution. So George wasn't one of these guys like, this is the way you do it, and pounded his fist. Now, we did have a way we did things, but it wasn't autocratic. George would always welcome feedback. He'd always welcome another view of opinion. But once we decided that we were going to execute a fundamental in a certain way, everybody was on board with it. Everybody understood how to teach it. Everybody was prepared when they went out on the field to teach it. And that way, the quality of the fundamental had every chance to be executed properly. And then the player, you know, clearly had a better chance to grasp it. And then you did it enough to where there was that consistency of message. There was that consistency of teaching, and the execution of the actual technique of the drill. And then we did it a lot, you know, I mean, and we try to make the routine, as we say, seem fresh, but the reality is it's about good habits. We alluded to Harrison earlier in an individual circumstance. It's the same thing in a team fundamental circumstance, and team defense, which got us on the subject, is representative of that, and how you do your fundamentals, how you execute your cutoffs and relays, the spacing, the accountability to making the accurate throw, make sure everybody's in the right spot. And once that happens, you have your best chance to play clean baseball. And that's ultimately, from our seat, Mr. Kissel's seat, was all you can really ask.
And it can be felt on the other side, too. The opposition, when the Cardinals, for many years it was this way, when the Cardinals came to your ballpark or you went to theirs and you saw that bird's on the bat and they're warming up, the opposition knew we better be on our game today because the Cardinals certainly will be on theirs. They're not going to beat themselves. We are going to have to beat them. And it's a ripple effect from George Kissel, but credit to you, Mike. I truly believe this. You and your staff have brought that back, and that feeling is definitely there. And I'll say this also, George Kissel should be recognized in Cooperstown. It was, we talked about Dave Duncan last week, or maybe that was a couple weeks ago, but you know, George is in the Missouri Sports Hall of Fame. He's in the Cardinals Hall of Fame, and Cooperstown is built on players and performers who were taught by the best, and George Kissel certainly qualifies.
Yeah, I mean, you've got a litany of players, and we mentioned previously the number of managers that George impacted greatly, and that's what the Hall of Fame is, you know, is people that did something above and beyond in excellence for the betterment of the game. And George wouldn't, you know, never sought that recognition out, but the reality is, you know, he's a Hall of Fame caliber talent for our game, and our game, and clearly our organization is better for it.
I'm glad we got to talk about him. That's Mike Shildt, the Cardinals manager. I'm Tom Ackerman. Quick break. We come back for another segment of the Mike Shildt Show on the home of the Cardinals, KMOX.
Now, back to the Mike Shildt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Welcome back to the show. The Cardinals manager is with us, and for just a few more minutes, and we always appreciate this. We started at 10:15. We wrap up just before 11 o'clock. Harrison Bader coming up. Also next hour, we're going to hear from Skip Schumacher and Adron Chambers, who scored the winning run in, that's a spoiler alert, but the game today is absolutely insane. The Carlos Marmol game, we'll just leave it at that, against the Cubs. You'll just have to hear it starting at noon today. Mike, I wanted to ask you in our last few minutes, I know that Rob Manfred, the commissioner of baseball, had a meeting with the managers. He spoke for, I guess that was on Friday, for about an hour or so. I don't know how much you are allowed to tell us or what you can tell us, but in general, what is your feeling on how things are going right now?
Yeah, Tom, it was all 30 managers and Commissioner Manfred. I've been speaking to some of the commissioner's office, you know, off and on for the last, you know, several weeks. And, you know, there's not a whole lot that I feel like. And not being able to share just doesn't mean that we're holding back some plan. The better way to say it, instead of thinking about, you know, this scenario or that scenario or this what if, the thing that I can probably say with reasonable conviction is everyone is excited and working their tails off and are confident that we're going to get some baseball again. And I really think that's probably the most important message. There's so many moving parts to what's going on, as most people know, and some of which, you know, people aren't privy to. And that's fine. That it's hard to really say we're going down this road. Here's the date. Trust me, we'd all love to have that. I think what's most important for the mindset of me, at least, and hopefully our team and our fan base that love our game and organization so much, is that I'm really comfortable and confident, reasonably so. No, don't like to speak in absolutes, but there's a real sincerity, and there's a lot of effort into us playing again, and I'm very sincere that's a strong possibility. And that's a very positive thing for me. And it was a positive conversation in those regards. And everybody, and when I say everybody, people on that call right now, I mean, clearly we compete against each other, but most importantly, let's just try to figure out a way to get our game that we love back going again. And, you know, it's going to look different, Tom, you know, it's going to look a little different, but it's still going to be a wonderful game that we love. And when I say different, you know, clearly, very likely no fans, you know, adjustment of other things in the game, doubleheaders, that kind of thing, but potentially. But ultimately, it was just about us being able to know and figure out a solution for us to work together and figure out the best way we can get our great game going again.
We have such a beautiful game. It really is. What do you miss most? And again, we're dealing with a lot of things in our daily lives, and so we all miss certain things about it, but we understand that we have to adhere by guidelines to move forward as a society. But we can still miss our game. As the manager of the Cardinals, what do you miss on a daily basis?
I miss watching our guys play. I miss our guys. I miss our staff. I miss our players. I miss the interaction with them. I love them. You know, we're a very close group. And I miss that interaction and that ability to do things with the guys and help them be a best version of themselves. And then do that in a team setting where, you know, collectively we come together for the greater good of a mission to win our division and World Series. And then after that, I love all the preparation that goes into it. And then I absolutely love the games and watching our guys compete and enjoy themselves and come together and play on the field. It's just a real privilege, and I enjoy it, and I miss it.
I do, too. I some people have asked me what I miss. I miss that when I first get into the ballpark and I see the guys just start to come out onto the field and you hear the pop of the ball into the glove, that green grass, the sun's still out at Busch Stadium, and you're feeling good. And yeah, I know that for the manager, it's a beautiful time, but also you want to win that game as much as possible, as much as anybody in the place. But it's also a beautiful little time. We're starting another day, and you never know what you're going to see.
Yeah, you know, I take a rare opportunity most every day and take a mental step back and look at where I am, especially at home. I do it on the road, too, but especially at home, right before the game starts. And I just pray about how grateful I am to be in this environment around these people and this opportunity. And just for a moment to kind of get outside myself, to be grateful and appreciate the majesty that I'm a part of and the experience that I'm a part of and the people and the environment and the game. It's just something I cherish.
I appreciate the time very much. Have a wonderful rest of your day. Thank you for joining me on these Sundays, and we'll catch up really soon.
Sounds great, Tom. Have a great week. Have a blessed day.
You too. There's the Cardinals manager, Mike Schilt, with us. Always great to have him on KMOX. Quick break. When we come back, a little of Harrison Bader, much more in the 11 o'clock hour as we look back at the 2011 season. John Mozeliak will be with us at 11:30 on KMOX.
Now, back to the Mike Schilt Show on your voice of the St. Louis Cardinals, KMOX.
Let's shift now to Cardinals broadcaster Mike Claiborne, and you can hear his outstanding interviews on claibsonline.com. Let's take a listen to the Cardinals center fielder.
Well, we have a chance to visit with Cardinals center fielder Harrison Bader, who was trying to make the most of an awkward situation. First of all, Harrison, how are you, man? Because everything kind of came to a screeching halt over a month ago. So how are you getting along?
Yeah, I'm doing well, Clay. It's good to see your face. Good to hear your voice. It's kind of lonely down here, obviously, with the shutdown. Everybody went back to their respective states, and I stayed tight, and I stayed in Palm Beach. So my family's still in New York. They're all safe and sound, which is the most important thing, so I'm doing all right.
Yeah, that was my next question. I know your family's in New York, and everybody's good on that front. Has it touched you yet, personally? Anybody you know that's run across it and had to deal with it?
You know, thankfully, no. You know, being from New York, obviously, it's a bit of a hotbed. Well, it is a hotbed. And, you know, I've always been keeping up with my friends. And, you know, thankfully, nobody I know or nobody really close to them even has gotten it. So everybody's just really taking the social distancing very seriously, which we all should. So it's, you know, those daily reports that everyone's safe and sound is good.
All right. So we can talk about the baseball here in just a bit. So tell me what you've been doing non-baseball related. Okay, you don't have your crew down there. You're in Florida. The weather's good. I'm sure you're at the gym. So tell me something about Harrison Bader that has nothing to do with baseball that you're into.
Yeah. Unfortunately, a lot of video games. So that's number one. I try to limit that the best I could, but kind of a trap. So a lot of video games. And besides that, you know, I'm doing a lot of workouts that are kind of different than just being in a gym. I'm running outside a lot, obviously away from everybody. You know, we have a lot of water down here, so I'm running by some water and just kind of just taking in the scenery. There's not really much to do, but I'm definitely making the best of it.
So, you know, in that situation, because you have to be creative here, there's no doubt about it, as far as how you work out and what you do and things of that nature. What have you learned about yourself during this downtime? Because once you have all this quiet time to yourself, you have a tendency to maybe stray off and learn about different things. So what about you?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've definitely, during this process, learned to love myself a little bit more, seeing that I've been spending so much time with myself. You know, I've kind of been one of my old best friends down here since I've been away from my really good friends. But you know, what comes with that is just a lot of writing a lot of stuff down, just kind of taking a different perspective on things. I think the biggest thing that I've learned about myself is I definitely have the ability to be a more positive person. You know, I think we're over 30 days, and just the talking to people and reaching out to people. I have, unfortunately, because life just, you know, everything, and especially in our world, Claves, you know, everything just goes by so quickly, and the days tend to blend together. And before you know it, you know, 6 months, even 12 months go by, and you haven't spoken to people you built up such relationships with in the past. And unfortunately, you know, it has taken a global pandemic to reach out to a number of people I haven't spoken to in a while. But I think it's just kind of, you know, turned me to my roots a lot more. A lot of my people back home, just the small businesses that I've, you know, learned to love and I grew up with, just reaching out to them, seeing if they needed any type of assistance, you know, obviously doing these things on behind the scenes and not really socially broadcasting them. Just understanding that there's just a lot you can do for a lot of more, you know, a lot more people, and especially them, very thankful for the platform that I'm allowed to, you know, have some resources to help some people out. So
that is Harrison Bader. Really good stuff there. Great thoughts from him, the Cardinals center fielder, on dealing with everything right now. Let's see if we can play a little bit more of that after the news next hour. Sports on a Sunday morning on KMOX continues after this.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.